Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour Podcast. I am your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I'm joined by my husband and co-host,
the Kev on Stage.
And we have our very first Love Hour guest. That is correct.
They used to live in our neighborhood, but then they got rich.
They will actually be our very last Love Hour guest.
I know.
Isn't that crazy? It's full circle moment.
And that is none other than Angel and Marcus Chanks.
Hey, what's happening?
Thank you so much. So listen, we're continuing with Love in Action. And all y'all was like, forget the trauma bonds, Melissa. Y'all don't need to be doing trauma bonds. Y'all need to eat something that's good. So I got something that's kind of good to some people.
Kombucha is not good.
Joshua loves kombucha, therefore,
I had kombucha one time. I didn't know what it was.
It's not very good.
When I first started All Deaf, people were all over it.
It is a very LA thing.
I've never had kombucha.
Oh, Marcus.
Kombucha. I've had it once, and it was good.
Like electricity.
I think it's things like depends Navo on battery. The flavor.
Yes. Okay, so we have four different flavors.
I don't think none of these flavors existed when I tried it.
I don't either. The flavors
are not bad. It might be like V8. You know, they got the V8 juice. It's actually good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It ain't Jackie tomatoes no more.
Yes, she does. All right, so we have the passion fruit and tangerine.
Okay, that sounds good.
Uh-huh. We have bubbly rose, which I'm going to call rosé.
Mm-hmm, as you should.
We have pink lady apple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we have pomegranate.
What exactly is kombucha now?
Kombucha is
like live probiotics.
You've got a big bright world.
Cultures.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Your gut is a community. Okay, but your gut needs kombucha. With living probiotics and detoxifying acids to restore body and mind from the inside out. Your sips away from a healthier gut and a happier you. Who doesn't want to be happier, Kevin?
So, what are you drinking though?
Yeah, it didn't tell. Yeah, let me see one.
It's sweet tea? What?
Hold Why on. Does it taste like that?
What is
organic kombucha? I'm going straight to ingredients. I don't care what they wrote.
Kombucha is a fermented, lightly effervescent, sweetened black or green tea drink.
Josh be knowing.
What is probiotic? It's always in like yogurt.
Yogurt.
Organic kombucha.
What does that mean though?
Water,
probiotics?
Acids from fermented.
They help to break down your food. It's like you have good bacteria that's in the lining of your intestines.
Black tea, green tea. That was one of the last things on the list.
Well, it should be at the top.
Because they got all the flavors and stuff in there. So they don't taste nasty. Fermented stuff don't be tasting good.
I hate fermented.
Certified organic.
Yeah.
Does it say shake it up? It's definitely given shake it.
You tumble it because there's a little carbonation.
What does tumble it mean?
Slow.
Or like swirl it.
Yeah, one of these. Yeah.
It's giving wine.
It's giving wine.
I want a Marcus meal.
Okay, which I had which flavor do you want? We're going to pick ours first because Joshua likes it. Okay, great. Kev, what flavor do you want?
Of all the given, probably passion fruit tangerine.
Okay, great. Can you open this? Tanksley family.
Do you want to do?
I'm going to do that pomegranate.
Okay, we're doing pomegranate.
Can't go wrong with pomegranate.
Thank you.
Pomegranate is so tart. Joshua, which one would you like? Bubbly rosé? That's not rosé. Or pink lady apple?
It's carbonated?
Yeah.
It has a little bit of carbonation to it.
Let me do it.
Hold it. If you hold it.
Pink lady apple. I can't open it.
Okay, so how many episodes has
Lewis
done?
Of the Love Hour, he's actually only done.
Beat him?
I think I have.
Three.
Oh, we tied.
Nope, he did. He did three.
He's only done three, but he's also done Love on Stage, which you guys have done, and he did the Love Hour Conference.
We do a whole podcast with y'all, Angel. We do the Bottom and Beautiful.
Yeah, but she's an actual co-host.
No, that's what I'm saying. She's trying to be.
No, he said that he had appeared more than any other guest on this show, and I said, no, I think I'm about to beat you, but I think this is my third.
Then you're tied with actually.
Yeah, then I'm tied.
What was your second?
When we did the recap of Love in the Pots.
I took that episode.
It was the three of us.
I remember.
Love
We've
in
done
the
a
Pots
lot together.
Yeah. Kev, did you pour mine? Oh, here you guys.
I thought you wanted bubbly rose.
Oh, I want the cup.
Oh, okay. Then this is mine. Sorry.
Okay.
No, Josh don't have a cup.
No, he's guzzling it.
Nobody's chasing bubbly rose.
Oh, I'll taste it.
I want to tell you.
Well,
you
Joshua wants it.
Oh, he didn't already put it.
Yeah, I don't want to waste it.
I want to.
You can have
a little bit of
everything.
If
you use a cup, then everybody can try. Can you use a cup, or are you just playing? No, Kim, that's all. On it? Okay, there's a clean cup right there.
Oh, you do have a clean cup, Joshua. Sorry, I know. That's my fault.
Yeah, no, I went through a lot of trouble to find a fifth cup.
Oh, you found it?
Don't we have plastic cups in there?
I don't know. One was chipped. I was like, we ain't letting anybody drink that.
I don't know.
I bought
don't breathe. Don't worry, man,
enough out of you.
What do you want from me?
Sit down.
First of all, it smells very good.
This smells like vinegar.
Oh, mine smells amazing.
Mine definitely smells like vinegar.
Yeah.
Mine smells like butt sweat.
So but do we drink?
I'm going to count off. Kay. Everybody ready?
Hold on.
Do we just chug it or just
Oh, you definitely should chug. I'm not going to.
I'm not chugging. Why are you going to say I should chug then?
Okay, here we go.
Hold on.
Oh, are you going to sneeze?
Mm-hmm. The fact that you knew that, I didn't know. I thought he was praying. He looked like Jesus over there, yeah, like somebody trying to play Jesus.
It's definitely giving crucified him. They crucified him.
I mean,
Savior.
It is a serpent on his head.
It is a serpent on my head.
Ah.
Okay, it's gone. It's up all there, right. But it's not coming out.
I thought you were giving Jesus. You're giving Judas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Whew.
Red, too.
Mm-hmm. I like this smell. It smells acidic, though. Okay, here we go.
I like it.
And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, go. Oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh.
Not that bad, but I'm not like chasing after it.
Yeah. It's definitely not delicious.
But it's electric.
It's definitely not delicious.
But it's not disgusting.
It's not as bad as I remember. But also, my defense, I didn't know what I was drinking at first. I thought I was just drinking like a drink.
Like a Snapple or something like that.
Yes, and I didn't realize it was carbonated. See? It's
that's your gut happy.
She said, that's your gut happy.
You know, Kev got a weak taste bud, though.
I don't understand why people would drink this. Like, what do you like about it, actually, that you would drink, like, the whole thing?
What is that?
The
fact that it's
good. The tangerine.
I was just going to say,
so do you like the flavor?
Reason.
Yeah. I don't mind the flavor.
Why don't you taste
it's
like
more
Kool-Aid.
That it's healthy
there's
for you.
Called, I think, QT's, literally the two letters. This
Ooh, that sounds good.
This smells like emergency. You know, Josh the little powder stuff. This smells like emergency.
Which one? Yeah.
The one that Kev has in his, the pomegranate tangerine.
It does.
I can see that.
I'm not pomegranate, passion fruit tangerine.
Oh, Kev, it ain't that bad.
It is that bad, Marcus.
It's not Kool-Aid,
Marcus
but it's
Anthony.
Not that bad.
In the reference of me drinking unsweet tea had nothing to do with
this.
No, give me another sweet, Kev.
Like, you don't know how things taste good. Be in the South asking for unsweet tea. You see the looks they gave
that's
me, Marcus.
That's blasphemous.
You will be upset.
You asked for unsweet tea?
He did in North Carolina.
That is blasphemous.
You
that
don't
is blasphemous.
Act, that's, dude.
That's
I'm
like
surprised
going to Mexico, Mexican food and asking for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something
somebody
like that.
I'm surprised they didn't back up their pickup trucks and
that
pull out guns on
Joshua.
You.
That is a correlation, Joshua.
I'm going to be
it's, yes, it's disrespectful. Yeah,
this actually
I'm
smells
be
good.
I'm going to be
belching
for the rest of the podcast.
No, you could say that's asking for a taco with no taco.
Are we trying
all right, that's
too?
Definitely the worst one.
Oh, you guys want to try this? Okay, so this is the only reason. This is the limited edition Kit Kat apple pie.
You don't have anything left.
So you just want to eat it?
Yes, just I don't want to do two things.
He said, Angel, why would you?
I this
was one, on
this
the table.
One's not
I
open yet.
This actually isn't
like,
that bad,
so
Kevin.
Is that bad.
Huh? No, that's not open yet.
I know. I was saying Josh could just
Josh
take
it.
Taking
it home.
Oh, you can take it. Oh, because he actually
people
likes
come to his
yeah,
house and spend the night, Marcus.
Someone said they call kombucha tea beer.
Sleepovers.
People go spend the night at Josh's house.
Oh.
There's no telling what happens.
Oh, wow.
You be having a good time?
People go over there. They
really?
They go to bed. They wake up.
And have some kombucha. There's no telling what's going to happen with that.
He doesn't know what he's doing tonight. He could go spend the night in West Hills.
He could.
In West Hills, he could.
He could get a hotel room in downtown LA.
You know, it's kind of the beauty of being an adult.
You're a grown man.
Nobody knows what he does. Mm-mm. What are you doing when you cark that Tesla?
What you doing, Tommy?
No narrative. Why are you making it bad? I'm just not knowing what you're doing when you leave here. Do you even go home?
I go straight home.
I bet you do. Maybe you go on the 101 the other direction.
This morning, I'm tired, Kevin.
I know y'all did.
I
for
bet
real.
You are.
What do you want from him? I don't understand.
Josh,
one day I'm gonna pull up.
Why
to
are you
house.
Still drinking this?
I don't know.
One day, when you finally
I'm coming, man.
You want some more, babe?
Once the tour's over.
Oh, you still haven't been there, Kev?
Wow.
That's
crazy, right?
What? Which one don't
you guys need? This one, Joshua.
Kevin?
I
want some of this one,
too. Okay. Angel, I've been on tour, okay?
Where have I been?
They did make time.
You didn't go on tour last week, did you? When we went to Ohio, what'd you do?
I booked a TV show.
But that's not when I he was. That's not when I went to the house.
I want to go to Black Love.
Okay, so listen, this is where we're at. We are at the end. This is not the last episode. We have one more episode that will just be Kevin and I. But this is our last Love Hour guest. And thank you, sir. And what I would love to do is tell you about Ritual.
Yes.
I just don't want to get deep in the conversation.
Yeah, makes sense.
So Ritual is a multivitamin company that you know and trust. Why? Because they've been partners with the Love Hour podcast pretty heavily through the tenure of the Love Hour. And I've actually talked about them on my Instagram. Not only are they a multivitamin company, but they just recently came out with a protein powder, which we all know can feel very intimidating because protein powders are generally gross. They're chalky. They have no flavor.
They are disgusting.
And they're just the worst.
That's why I don't be healthy, because of the taste.
But what Ritual did was teamed up with some scientists from Harvard and reimagined protein from the ground up and inside out, from how it's made to who it's for and why it's needed. The result is a delicious plant-based protein offered in three premium formulations for distinct life stages and unique nutrition needs, all made with the same high standards approach and commitment to traceability that Ritual is known for. We all know the importance of establishing a ritual or a routine in the morning, whether that's getting up, maybe reading your Bible, maybe setting your intentions for the day, taking your multivitamin and taking a protein shake and starting off your day. It just sets the tone for the day, and how you start often is how you end. So it's really just really, really important to establish that routine. They have a very flexible subscription service with ease of incorporating into your daily rituals, all because all you have to do is add water, shake, and go on about your business sipping. You deserve to know what you're putting in your body and why. With one-of-a-kind visible supply chain, you'll always know what's in our formulas, their formulas, where the ingredients come from, and why they are included. So why not shake up your ritual to make trying something new less scary? Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners will get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/lovehour.
Love hour.
And to add essential protein today. That's ritual.com/lovehour.
Love hour.
Thank you so much, Ritual, for sponsoring today's podcast. Okay, so this is where we're at. About maybe 2 years ago, when did I initially do my podcast episode with you? 2018?
2018 is when you did my podcast. Mm-hmm. 2019 is when I did yours. Yeah.
So 2018 is when I did Angel's Mommy Confessions on her channel, which it comes up every now and again, which my makeup that day was so good.
It was, girl. You was glaring.
I don't know how I did it, and I cannot recreate it, but that's not the point here. Anyway, we were talking about starting off because I was leaving my job and all of that. And I thought now would be a good time to talk about what we have accomplished from that time to now and what we think about the future. And it's going to tie really nicely because I'm going to start with something. I'm going to go through kind of some changes that have happened.
Okay.
But it's going to tie really nicely. I've been reading for my book club, the Will Smith book. It's amazing.
I've worked with Will Smith. I've met him.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Who? What's his name?
Will Smith.
What's his full name, though?
Willard Carroll Smith Jr.
Not Junior. It's not Junior.
Just Willard Carroll Smith.
It's the second. Right.
The second. His son never
wanted him to be Junior. Correct. His dad. Correct.
Oh, this guy has a book.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell us more.
I just didn't know if I brought it up before.
Oh no, definitely didn't know that. Fun fact.
Well, I gotta look. In case you didn't know. Willard Smith.
Yeah, Willard. It's really great time actually to kind of go through his accolades. What do we have here?
Oh,
come on, hardcover!
My good friend's book.
Looks familiar.
Yeah, he does look familiar.
He looks really familiar.
Yeah,
he has big ears like I do, but mine don't stick out like that.
Love it, Josh. Are you reading it?
It's a solid book.
Are you enjoying it?
No, you.
It's very good.
People used to.
It's very good. Oh, this is fantastic seeing you come on here. Okay, so it's very, very good. And he talks about some things that I think that we can talk about might hopefully garner great conversation. But before we do that, since 2018, we have become podcast co-hosts.
Yes.
We have.
Yeah.
Comedy touring buddies.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
The creation of the home team. And Marcus has left his job.
Wow.
Actually, low-key in 2018.
I was going to say, so did you since 2018.
So all of
Were you working full-time?
Mm-hmm. I was at the, I must have been almost coming off.
I get to interview you right as you came. Had just came off because you were like, I'll be leaving my job, so then I'll have free time. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's a lot has happened.
That's
I quit my job. That
was the first podcast I was a guest on. Mm-hmm. I've never been on a podcast.
Alyssa always makes sure that she brings the husband.
One of the things that was really...
Because I was shocked. I said, wait, they want me too?
Yeah, one of the things Marcus. That's always been really important for me, specifically on this platform and being often, not often because it doesn't change, but being the wife of the star is recognizing that as the spouse, you're often forgotten in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And so I've always made a point to invite the spouse. Would you say?
So you're preaching to the choir.
Yes. I have always made a point to invite a husband, even if like maybe I know you through, I've always made a point to invite both, especially because I'm talking about Liv. Like you
Chance
can just represent
the same
you.
Thing. He was like, they don't usually pick me. He was like, man, you Chance.
Yeah, I need you both. Y'all going to the love store. I need you both, okay?
Both of you.
So those are all of the things that have happened. And as we are closing out 2021 and looking into 2020, I ask you guys, with everything that you have accomplished, what is your definition of success?
We were just talking about this on the car ride back.
I'm glad we're taking a minute to talk about accomplishments, because that's something that we touched on last episode of the youth thing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Marcus. What is success
to you? To me, it's all relative to the person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's success, and I don't remember exactly how he worded it, so I'm not about to slaughter it up, but George Washington Carver has one of my favorite quotes talking about success. I had it memorized, but I don't exactly remember what it was. But basically, for me, success, it all depends on where you started from and where you ended up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you take, that's why, for one, I love my people. I love black people,
mm-hmm.
because we are all starting at a specific deficit that a lot of people aren't starting from. So I'd look at, you know, a kid that came up, you know, dirt poor and being black and making it to a corporate level, more successful than Bill Gates.
Mm.
Because Bill Gates didn't start down there.
Right.
I love that.
They had a lot more obstacles to overcome. Not to say he didn't have obstacles, and not taking anything from Bill Gates. However, when you're starting in a valley versus starting on flat land, it's a little more. So that's just my take on success.
It was very good.
Marcus.
Is this it?
I was looking up the quote for him.
Nah, that ain't it.
Okay.
I would try to say it, but it's I would screw it up right now.
You sure it's George Washington Carver?
I'm almost positive. It says something about it's not a success is not measured by the man's accomplishments, but by the something about where the man began his journey versus where he is going. Something like that.
I don't see it. Success for me is measured by whatever I decide the goal is. And I have learned to make my goals achievable so that I can have a sense of success. We were actually talking about this on the car ride after we landed and we're headed back to our homes. I was saying I had a certain amount of goals set for like, what did I wanted to do brand deal wise in 2021. And I was like, and I surpassed my goal. Mm-hmm. So for me, I felt very successful. I have made goals before that were lofty in the sense of there was no way that I knew how to put actionable plans in place for me to achieve it. It was going to be like, well, the Lord is going to descend and he's going to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Where, as I've become a better businesswoman, I've realized, okay, if you want to actually feel a sense of success, put goals in place that you do have to put effort into it. But if you actually achieve A, B, C, and D, you will actually hit the goal that you're trying to make. So that's there success for me.
I love that. Kevin?
For me, I've been trying to live in gratefulness lately. And I think I would I would like to define success for myself as being able to do what I want to do for a living and create opportunities for others. I think a lot of times I get so caught up in like the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, that I don't often be like, dang, you did this thing, until I'm looking back, right? Because I was, I wouldn't say complaining, but, you know, I've been tired on the last, you know, a couple legs of the tour. And I was thinking in my room by myself when I was alone and naked. I said, man, you really are, like, bummed. You know, I'm just tired and whatnot. And then I thought back to Kevin at Boeing, which was some of my lowest moments in outside of being completely fired. But there was a little bit of freedom there because I was able to create content and hang with the boys. But at Boeing, I just felt my soul being sucked out of me every day. And I was like, you would be waking up and being at your desk at 5 o'clock. What Boeing Kevin would do if he thought touring comedian Kevin, who is traveling the world doing stand-up in selling out all over the United States, like almost, how dare you be complaining? Even though you are rightfully tired, like, think about how refreshed you were to hate your job every second of every day. Yeah. So given the option, I'd take 3 hours of sleep from a plane than 9 hours if I had to go to Boeing. But for me, I would like to equate success not to money or to accolades or anything like that, because you can't really control that. But to being able to just create content and do what I would love and have the health and joy of my family, those things that are, those are very much more important to me than like Forbes. Well, I can't do 30 under 30 now, but 40 under 40 or being on Sunset Boulevard, things like that. Cause those are very fleeting things.
Yeah.
You know, I've known a lot of people who've been on Sunset Boulevard or Times Square, but I take value in Thanksgiving. My kids are there. My family's there. We're all having a good time. That is success for me. And I try to make my decisions based on that future, right? I want my children to be able to come back to the house in 20 years and bring their wives back or their dogs, whatever, wherever part of their life they're in, to feel comfortable saying, I'm going to my mom and dad's house for Thanksgiving this year. That to me is success, is keeping that intact.
What is so interesting is, I need to put this on my lips, hold on. One of the things that Will Smith said in the book, which is phenomenal, by the way, he said that if you are married to, it triggered me. So dreamers, I need your input.
Okay.
He said, if you are married to a dreamer, everything comes second to the dream.
Why would he say that?
What he was saying was this.
I got to talk to Will.
That his vision of success was, you know, no different than what we've given here. His vision of success also included, to Kevin's point, his family, a wife, his kids, the beautiful white picket fence with the golden doodle, and the apple pie sitting out. Like, he had this, like, perfect, and he's talked about this before, but, like, he's had, like, this perfect envision of, like, this is what success looks like to me, in addition to having and being the biggest box office hit in the world. Yeah. When he got it, it came with sacrifices, and those sacrifices often were at the expense of his family.
I think he can say that as a man. I don't think I don't think that's true for, I've heard people say that about artists, but it was also a man who said it, that the that when you are married to an artist, you know that you come second to the art. I definitely had my dreams deferred to be a in-tune, tapped in mother. Like, I completely was like, everything else comes second. I feel like now I'm in a place.
So aren't you the dreamer though?
I am. That's why I'm disagreeing. Yeah. I think he's saying that. I think he's not realizing he is walking in maleness in some of that statement, that everything comes second to his dream. Where for me, it was very easy for me to be like, well, all right, the kid is here. So this is the priority. And when I can fit my dream in, I'll find places that I can fit my dream in. I feel like now, however, it looks a little different just because my partner is in a different stage in his life that allows him to support my dream in a different way. Where before, I mean, us being out here is a part of my dream. So I completely see that as but even while we were out here, there were times where I had to like put that thing on pause. Was working for my mother, not working as an actress, because it allowed me to be at home with my child. Mm. Even me getting into voiceover work, it allowed me to be pregnant and not worry about providing income. It wasn't that it was because it was my dream to do ADR. No. Mm. So I think a lot of that has to do with men, I feel like, are given the freedom to choose career over family without as much hassle. Where for me, choosing dream over family would, I think, have, I don't know. I don't know if it would have tore our family apart. I think it would have had a lot to do with how you felt about it.
Yeah. I mean, because me, I've never been, I'm not the traditional dreamer. Mm-hmm. As I'm stepping into this new, and it was Booker T. Washington, by the way, not George Washington Carver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw your record Where You Are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, I didn't start my whole dreaming process until probably 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. Lightly touching on it. Now I'm like diving into it. But yeah. Sorry, to look at it on that level of, I'm not definitely not going to have my family sacrifice anything over my dream, because we're already making things happen. And I don't feel like that would be necessary. Now, my dreams may not be as big as, you know, the things that he had going on earlier on in his career. But to say, I don't think I would be the one to put my family second to a dream.
But you're not in the relationship. You are becoming a dreamer, but yes. You are not the, like, dreamer.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was that more logical.
Would you be the one feeling like the dream was sacrificed, or he would be?
He would feel like the dream came first.
Came first.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I'll let you ponder. I'll let you answer. But before we do, all of these questions are based off of Will Smith's book, memoir called Will. Yes. It is on Audible. You guys know I probably have three books that I recommend you listen to over reading the physical copy.
Yep.
The first one, Michelle Obama.
Becoming.
The second one has been taken over, and that is Will Smith's Will.
Will?
The production value of this book is an actual production.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's got music?
There is music.
Ooh.
There is excerpts from when he talks about news articles. They pull that into the audio book.
Oh, nice.
He does the impersonation of when he meets Muhammad Ali. Like, it is a full-on experience.
Mm. Ooh, I like this.
It is so good to hear the story of Will Smith chronologically. You understand, like, a lot of it, some of the stuff I'm like, whoa, that happened, I didn't even know. But a lot of it you knew. It's just kind of different to hear it in order. And then Will Smith makes a lot of sense to me. It's just really, and I wish I could find, I'm going to actually look for like some sort of audio of his father, because I'm thoroughly convinced this man talks just like his father. The way he describes his father, there's no way he doesn't talk like his father. All of that to say, his book is available. Oh, I didn't give you the third book. The third book is Kevin Hart's book.
You have raved about that.
I can't think of the name of it, child. Let me tell you about it. Hold on. Kevin Hart's book was called... No, was it? I Can't Make This Up?
I Can't Make This Up.
Okay.
With the puppy on his head.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Those are three audiobooks that 100% are worth listening to. They just are very fantastical books. highly recommend. And Audible right now, you can not only get their audiobooks, so they have podcasts, they have music, and they have audiobooks. Highly, highly, highly recommend. You swiping up, picking up the Will Smith book, Will, on Audible. And then make sure you join my book club, because we're going to have some discussions about it, child, because he talk about co-parenting and all the things. Ooh, child, it's going to be very, 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 very good. Visit audible.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
Or text Love Hour to 500-500.
500-500.
Again, that's audible.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
Or text Love Hour to 500-500. Let me do Ship Station. The holidays are among us. We have these cups that we
black
need to sell.
Lumps.
Yes.
I'm about
black
to ask you where those cups
were. We're going to be releasing these things too as soon as I get to the person.
I think that's what we're waiting on.
Yes.
We're going to do it all together. And who do we use when we sell our own merch?
Ship Station.
Ship Station.
Only station for me.
Come on, sing it.
Chip station.
Woo. Come on.
Chipping gonna be easy.
Yeah. ShipStation is an online integrated platform that allows you to ship, whether it's from your own website, Etsy, Amazon, whatever. It pulls all the information into one place and allows you to ship, print labels, and it gives you the best deals on your shipping, whether that's through USPS, FedEx, UPS, did I already say that? All of the major shipping companies, mm-hmm. and they're going to give you a great deal. So it doesn't matter where you're selling. If you want to make an extra few coins over the course of the holiday season and you need a place, you know, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself because maybe you don't have a good enough or a big enough platform on your own. So you put it on Etsy where people go, because I be buying stuff from folks on Etsy I never heard of. It's cute enough. That's a good way to do it. So what you're going to do is use my offer code LOVE to get love. A 60-day free trial. That's going to take you through the holidays, honey. So hear me what I said. Just enough time to handle the holiday rush. Just go to ShipStation.com. Click at the microphone at the top and enter code LOVE.
Love.
That ShipStation make ship happen. Very good. Kevin, what are your thoughts? How's your dream? Has everything else come second to your dream?
Is that a question for you?
No, you're the dreamer of the relationship.
Yes, you're a dreamer.
Here's the truth.
Tell me more.
I think in my mind, everything else doesn't come second, but I think in actuality, it probably does.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In my mind, that looked like, don't go to the movies, guys, without me. Wait till I get home.
Uh-huh.
You know, why are you guys watching this? I'll be home this day. Really
don't cook.
Don't cinnamon cook. Rolls. I don't apologize for that one actually at all. I'm still upset about that. I'm boycotting cinnamon rolls in protest. Okay. Of you all.
You shouldn't do that.
They're
That's
out.
Taking it too far.
No,
we're taking it way too far.
No.
I might never eat a cinnamon roll again until we get to do a bake-off.
All right, now you're just being dramatic. You're definitely.
I really have not.
I'll send some to your house.
You act like it's a bad thing to take out a couple other things.
No, Angel. Now I'm going to eat them just because you said that. I'm boycotting my previous boycott.
I'm boycotting my previous boycott.
One thing I always connected with Will Smith about, although I didn't have his money or height or physical fitness, the golden cage.
Yes.
Buying his wife that house. And getting her that gift of her that he thought was good without her input or desire.
You know what he said about it?
What'd he say?
Y'all need to listen to this. He said that house was a down payment on resentment.
Ooh. Wow.
Have you ever done something?
Ooh, Jesus. That's
have you ever
Joshy.
Done something and you and your spouse were not on the same page and you did it anyway? And the fruit of that decision was resentment.
The Honda Accord.
Oh, I would have to really think.
That was a down payment on resentment for sure.
Yes, he definitely made a down payment with that gun.
What gun?
One of them. He told us
it's one of the many.
One of the many?
Oh, yeah. He be making.
I got clarity on all the other ones, but that one was the one I snuck past.
Was the dog in retro in to get him back?
I don't think to get him back, but yeah, that's probably a good resentment one. In Amar.
The whole baby.
The whole child.
This is the funny thing, is that part of this is that people see the dream. They see where you are. They see where we are. They see, and they don't realize or understand all of the sacrifices that come along with it in the support of,
yes,
of the dream. Like in propping this up when you were talking about, when you were talking about being present for being a present mother, you went out on tour. Amar's much still younger than your older children.
Yes.
I can only imagine what that feels like in comparison to what you were able to do with the other boys. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
What, for you, when you're talking about the cinnamon rolls, it's not a sacrifice, but I understand the idea.
It is a sacrifice.
Tell me more.
Fun stuff is happening.
How is it a sacrifice?
I'm not having fun. I'm in a hole in the wall green room in Minnesota.
So you're
the
selfish.
Audience stinks. I'm in the back where they stock plates. And you guys are in the house is warm and you're having fun. And I'm having bad show after bad show.
What you said?
And this probiotic is making me burp. Ever since I drank this, I can't stop burping. I threw up in my mouth a couple minutes ago.
We talking about tour. So hold
my
on.
Breath stinks.
So you had to leave those awful green rooms and go stay in a Motel 6.
That part was nice, but at the moment you guys were doing that, nearly I wasn't in my hotel room. But it doesn't matter how nice the hotel room is if you're sleeping alone. Okay, we stayed at some nice hotels. Who cares?
Home team was sleeping alone.
No, yes, you guys have the kids though. The whole nuclear family
really?
Is there.
You want to switch?
Yeah, I would. Give me the
Angel. You know, the thing that makes me cool with Amar, with like leaving him, is that he's getting something none of his brothers had, which is a very present father. That is something that makes me not have any guilt about it.
That's beautiful.
I'm like, he is getting something. I mean, they're getting it too because mm-hmm. they're there, but like, Amar's relationship with Big Marcus is going to be completely different than the other three boys because he just, his career did not allow for him to do what I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was showing up to everything. It didn't matter. Things they weren't asking me to show up to, I was there. Where now he might not show up to all those things.
Definitely not.
But like Amar won't have, it won't be like the boys all have memories of me showing up to school and being at everything or being at home with me from baby to like 3 years old. Amar will have him mm-hmm. in those memories. So that makes me be like, that is a very few people have those.
Yeah, that
was
one of those things, especially when I was stepping away from my job. Once I started like from the gut hating having that job.
Yeah.
It was like heartbreaking to have the kids ask me, it's like, Daddy, so you have to go to work tomorrow? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I got to go work tomorrow.
My son did that. Joe, he is the family boy. Isaiah.
He be acting like he's not, but he is.
I don't know if a child could care less if it was humanly possible to act like they cared less. But we came home this morning. I think we got him around 12:30, something like that, right? 12:30? Oh, you weren't gone. You weren't home. Anyway, by 2:30, or maybe it was 12. Anyway, by 2:30, we had to come here, right? Mm-hmm. And Joe was like, man, you're leaving again? You just got home.
Yeah, Joe.
I was like,
make you feel terrible.
Yeah, I mean, just, and he guilt tripped McGee. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing is, he doesn't necessarily want you to do anything with him or be near him. Just being in the home, yes, though. Yeah. Yes. I want to know if I come in your room, what are you doing in here?
Sit down somewhere.
That's all right. You're here,
Big
though.
Big Marcus? I mean, little Marcus?
No.
No, that's me.
This big one. He's like, you going out the house for something?
Yes. I'm out in the garage doing, you ain't got to be out in the garage, but be set your ass at home.
I can feel you in the yes. You know,
we ain't got to be singing lullabies and all that and karaoke. No, but just be at home. No, sit down somewhere.
No, this one. Now, Amar has here recently started to show me like, where I'll be like, oh, I have to run and do an errand and I'll give him to the nanny and he'll be like, I mean, he'll do the slow cry. Mm-hmm. Like, not that I'm throwing a tantrum, but my heart is broken and I'm like, oh my gosh. Good. You'll be all right. And then I still leave. But I do feel I do feel hurt because I'm just like, oh, he knows I'm mama. Yeah. He was on my lap
from
the time I got home until the time I left.
Mm-hmm. Today?
Yes.
That's one thing I am grateful for. I have a lot of years of a lot of time spent with my kids. Mm-hmm. Right. My career didn't take off until my children were almost, Zay was a teen.
Yeah. At
and least. Joe was close.
How's he 15,
2018,
13?
Joe was what?
It's about right. 13.
No.
He was 10.
2013.
Was 10.
Thank you.
He was 10. I can't remember the year he was born in.
I was like 26, 013. I don't
so
know.
So there was a long periodically time that I wasn't going nowhere. And then there was a couple years where I only had shows on Saturday. So they would drop me off on the airport on Saturday morning and they pick me up on Sunday morning. It wasn't until we went on The Real Comedians in 2018 that it was a lot. And then by 2019, we realized both of us cannot tour like mm-hmm. this at this pace. Yeah. JoJo was like, look.
I'm not doing
I
this
don't
no more.
Care.
Yeah.
You're going to have. Somebody's got to be here. Right. So Melissa ended up sacrificing and staying. But it is not easy. That's why I was talking about this today, about balance and how like. Yeah, I was talking about how it's a myth. Like, I'm coming home from a tour that was sold out in Tampa. It was great shows, made good money, had a good time, all that. But and I'm flying back on the first flight home. But the first flight home from Tampa gets here at 10:30 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Joe's game's at 8:00. So by doing one dream, I cannot do this. I cannot be a present father. So the exchange for that is I go to every soccer practice. Mm-hmm. And those are like my games. But you know the difference between a game and a practice. But at least he can look out on, you know, Monday and Wednesday, and I be there.
That was like Marcus's play. I showed up to that dress rehearsal like, listen, this is what I got for you because I ain't going to be here for the actual show.
Yeah. So my question is, what is the first thing you want to accomplish in 2022? We talked about a lot here, and also like a lot of nothing, but also a lot.
I know exactly what I want to accomplish. Tell me. I want to put out this scripted show that I've worked on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Even before the app. You remember?
Yeah.
I was working on this, pitching. This is the show that the Wahite middle-aged gentleman said black people wouldn't get. This is the one. This has been passed on by various amount of people, and I'm making it. And it's not even so much as to like get back at them, although that is a part of it, and they will pay. It's like I want to.
Hold on. For anyone who reads the book, the Will Smith book, please know Kevin is Will Smith.
Why you said that?
Oh, if you read this book. Oh my God.
I'm going to read it. Oh, I'm going to listen to it on Audible.
He is competitive like you.
This is why we get along.
Most
so well.
Of Jada's responses, I'm like, oh, girl, I understand. Also, as an aside, the hate mail that the interwebs has decided is deserved upon Jada Pinkett Smith is undeserved.
Well, why they hate
it? And you can fight me on
every,
it.
Every quote for what? Have y'all seen the last
hashtag poor Will Smith? It's just entirely too much for me. It's just it, no, I made that up.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, I didn't know.
No. Stuff on the internet.
But just the idea that people feel bad for Will Smith is really what the sentiment is. Man. That people feel bad
on that.
This is the thing, and child, I've been thinking about this today because I've been listening to this. Hold on, we're gonna go on a tangent for just a moment. Excuse me.
On your tangent.
It's your love hour.
Love hour.
This is the problem, people of America. And the world. Any inclination of a good man dismisses any complaint of a woman.
You so right. Come on. Come on, Melissa.
So you see the idea of Will Smith, this mega movie star, that and he provides and he seems to be a present father. What woman wouldn't kill to be by this man, especially if you are single and you in these dating streets and the men that you have in the pool are garbage. And then you look at Jada as if she's undeserving because she's complaining and wanting him to show up better for her.
You better speak on that, Melissa.
Who that feel like, Liz?
When I tell you, literally today, I was in the car like, I understand Will Smith because Kevin is Will Smith. And I understand Jada and the responses that he talks about when he bought her a house and he called
that current one.
Is that the Golden Lake or something?
Yeah, that's what
it is. The compound?
Yes, the compound. He was talking about how he bought it. It was this grand gesture of love. And she was like, I don't want that. It's not what I want. And I could only think about the responses people gave me when you bought me them shoes.
Shoes, the story of the shoes.
And people thinking.
That's our money to his money,
by the way. Yes,
I bought a compound.
He's buying. Correct.
Louboutins.
I mean, this compound had like five properties on it, a lake, like all this acres. Ain't nobody got all that money. But it was a pair of shoes. But the idea is this grand gesture of love that I say is for you.
Yeah.
And it's not. Yeah. And the nerve.
The nerve of you niggas.
The nerve. To be upset about it. That is the frustration. That is the unfortunate position that women put women in.
Yeah.
So you sit here in silence. He said this woman cried for 45 days straight.
When he bought that house?
No, I don't know the exact time period, but he said she would wake up in these crying spells. And she did it for 45 days straight.
She was Noah.
Oh, Jesus.
And I said to myself, people at this point only it's her because she over here doing this and she listen. And I'm not excusing entanglement behavior. Okay, let's be clear.
But they was out there both having entanglements. And he done said that many times and nobody seems to listen.
I don't understand how the blame has been squarely and solely placed on her shoulders.
It's just her boo was the only one who spoke out. Will got several boos that could have been
stop
like
it.
That
kept their mouth shut. Mouth.
If you ever open your mouth, he did. Will,
he got them swarming.
I just was listening. I was listening and I'm just like, I'm sick of it. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of it. And I just, and I, for women, I think we do it to other women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Men don't be caring. It is definitely women, and especially women who are in positions that they don't want to be in. And they're like, if I was in that, I'd be happy, mm-hmm. grateful. I'd do this and that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, but you're not.
Be over there miserable on all them acres.
And that's with nobody my problem. To love it's you. Like,
with nobody to love.
You fall in love with the idea of what you think is happening without knowing the intricacies of what's actually happening.
Say it again, uh-huh. Liz.
People aren't unhappy because they want, you're freaking married to Will Smith. Like, do you not think she would want to be happy being married to yeah. Will Smith?
Yeah.
But they see, oh, Will Smith. She knows Willard.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the difference. That's
Smith
the difference.
The
that's why I be trying to tell them, all these women want to be married to me. Y'all don't know me, man. It's awful. It's Kevin who you're married to, and that nigga be tripping. He got trauma. His real dad wasn't around.
Well, and that's the thing. The middle child. We take away the idea lotion. Of humanity.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
reality is, Will Smith got trauma too. I'm gonna do the ad. Hold on.
Stop showing her the ad, Joshua.
Oh,
no
shit. What?
Oh, now you're giving us a look. He doesn't want you to talk as a woman.
Why y'all do that to
you
Joshua?
See how they do?
Why are they cussing this? Anyway, that was my rant.
That was a good rant.
Come on, man. You don't care about black men and their skin.
Don't let them do that.
Black
don't
men should care before
that.
They leave
don't
the house.
Oh, now they should care, Marcus.
Yeah.
You know what? I got nobody on my side here. Stage crew, what y'all say? Get up to the comments.
they gonna hate me. I know I'm gonna get some hate on that. I really don't care actually because I'm ending this
great.
Podcast. And so the freedom that I feel, because in reality, I think it is a sad state for women to not humanize this Will Smith. Because he is a movie star, because right. he is a, you know, TV mm-hmm. star, because mm-hmm. he's all
physically
of these
fit.
Things. Yes. And we don't allow him the grace to realize that he's flawed.
Yeah.
To realize that he came with baggage.
We don't allow her
and
the
trauma
grace.
And all. No, he. Well, yes. But what I'm saying is to validate her, we gotcha. Need to understand that yeah. he came with flaws and trauma and like yeah. all of this baggage.
Yeah, people are judging him by the machine he created. That is Will
Bingo.
Smith. We were talking about it on the podcast.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, yeah, like Kevin on stage. And Kevin was like, what?
Tell me more. But before we do that, we need to talk about movement because the holiday. No, I want to hear this. The holiday season are around the corner, which means you're probably doing what? Buying presents. And if you need a present for your partner or your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your brother, your sister, Movement is the place to go. They are the original brand to break all the rules started by two college dropouts who didn't want to overplay for a nice watch. Now they're bringing you the sleekest, most quality gifts of the season with hundreds of watches, blue light glasses. Joshua has blue light glasses and they're amazing. And they're from Movement.
They are.
Sunnies and fine jewelry styles to choose from. Stuff your stockings, impress your family, wow your partners, or treat yourself with the perfect gift from Movement. Kev, do you remember the one that you have?
Yes.
I have a pretty white porcelain watch. I call it porcelain, but it's this white sleek watch that has gold. All the little buttons and everything are gold on it.
I got the Element, and I wore it to our all-white party, and oh, my God, it hit so clean. When you put it on, when I would be dressing
up. That's I wore to the all white party for Melissa's birthday too.
Yeah, because you know I like to wear my watches with my outfit. Mm-hmm. You know, and that Movement, they give you that sleek thing. It dress up the whole outfit. It's really what it does.
Yeah,
the Element is the cream de la creme.
Mm-hmm. Their watches start at just $95. Movement mm-hmm. has clean, minimal designs and quality products, which means that they aren't dated. I hate me and Kev were just talking about this the other day, houses, and you can tell that they're from a certain time period. I hate that because then they're dated. You want things that are classic and will be long-lasting and they're timeless. And that's what Movement is going to give you. Movement has sold over 2 million watches in over 160 countries. Be the big winner this holiday season with a gift from Movement. Go to Movement, MVMT.com/love.
Love.
That's Movement, MVMT.com/love. Love. Join the Movement. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's podcast. Continue.
I wasn't talking.
I was saying that there was that similarity of this machine that he's this like a protective coat that Will was saying he built for himself that is Will Smith. And I was like, oh yeah, it's just like Kev on stage.
Say more though. Say more.
there is this machine, or I don't know what to call it, that Kevin has built to kind of protect Kevin Allen Fredericks. And so there are certain things that Kev on stage is not going to do, say, allow to be shown in the public light in order to protect himself. So people begin to think that Kev on stage is a full representation of Kevin Fredericks,
got you.
Where it's actually a refined, curated image that he's created to protect himself.
I understand.
The Golden Child.
And he was like,
he don't like this.
It was so funny because he had a realization at the time. He was like, I'm gonna have to talk to my therapist about this.
I ain't talked to her either.
Do you feel like as a brand you've had to go ahead, say your question.
I was gonna say I don't feel like there's anything wrong with it of having the character that you present to the public because you're on such a massive platform to protect the individual.
Yeah,
Kevin Fredericks. There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree. I've been saying there's nothing wrong with it for a long time. I don't know what the whole hullabaloo is.
The hullabaloo?
Do you feel like you've had to curate a, the word I'm going to use is disassociation from Angel the person and Angel the brand?
No, Angel don't care about nothing.
Like he just said.
That's who you see.
That is that
who she is.
But that, I think, in its way is a protection for me. Is Same that one. I don't, you're not going to get surprised by me. You already know what it is. There won't be a lot of, oh, you are a hypocrite. Mm. Well, yes, I am, but I also already told you that too. So, like, there's, I think for me, I don't want to set people up to say, ah, I caught you. See, you said you Got don't it. Do this. No, I already did it in front of you. I actually recorded it, posted it. You liked it, and I appreciated it. Thank you. So, for me, that's more of a protection than trying to keep up a facade. That's just too tiring for me.
Got it.
Yeah, that was one of the things before I even stepped into the whole thing of being in front of a camera and doing all this stuff. I was telling Angel, like, I'm too private for that. Like, I don't want people to know me. She was like, but you can, a lot of people have a character that they create for in front of the camera. And then as I saw her doing her thing and being around more people, I thought the same thing. I was like, that's too much. People gonna get me. Mm-hmm. And that way, there will never be any surprises. It's like, well, Marcus said this, and people that know me be like, of course he said that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, you were saying something about, did you, you were asking the question about 2022, top correct. Of the year, and I didn't hear yours.
Of the first thing, no, I'm just hosting.
Oh, she's like, I don't want to say.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I just thought they good, oh, good question.
What
for
you want to
accomplish? Yeah, what do you want to accomplish in 2022? The first, one of the next? First things you want to accomplish.
First thing I'm going to accomplish is, Angel's always asked me, like, what do you want to do? And I've been saying, like, I love cars. That's what I love doing. I love so cars. I'm going to dive Mostly into that.
Old school like,
shut up, Kevin.
I like old school Mustangs. I want a white one with green stripes. I want to put them on myself. Okay, racing stripes. I'd love to just get in there with my hands and make a car.
I was wondering when he was going to run out. Like, yes. I'm like, no, let him talk.
Let him finish.
I want a Hemi and a chassis.
A what?
Chassis.
And a what?
Chassis.
It was two things that you said.
A Hemi.
Why you let him go?
Because this is I'm enjoying it.
Gasket.
Yeah. Gasket. Right under the hood. But no, I'm going to dive into that like full on top of like the father influencer thing. But the father thing is like, it's what I have to be. Not even have to be. That's what I enjoy doing. But it's a part of me. But the whole car influencer, like, I'm like, okay, I see what other people are doing. It's possible. I love doing. I love driving cars. I love talking about cars. That's like 2022. That's my first and foremost. Like one of my priorities is that. Then I got a second and third and fourth. But
Just the first one. No, no, no. Just the first one, because I got one last question.
Mine is just getting our business structure completely set up. Yeah, so
and
that,
that's part of it.
So that I got a couple of other streams of income that I want to start, but I need to get the structure that we have together. So even over top of content and stuff, content is easy for me to make. So that's not something that I'm really like, oh, I've got to create this type of content. I want our business structure set up in a way that it makes it easier for us to create what we want to create and like pivot when necessary. Right now, if we had to pivot hard, I'd be like, ah, I don't know which direction we're going. So just getting us operating more like a business is what I really want to have my boss hat on next year and not feel as though I'm doing things by the seat of my pants.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. Structure and organization.
Yeah, that's number one for me next year.
Hurry up so I can do what I want to do.
I have one last question.
Okay.
All right, this is it. Maybe two. Will Smith talks about the difference between desire and purpose. And he talks about desire being something that's insatiable, selfish, and personal. And your purpose, it gives. And because it gives, that's what will keep you, it will allow you to recede when you need to, but you'll also always be motivated to do it because it's your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you have found your purpose, or are you operating in desire? Let it sit for a minute.
I was.
Okay, answer.
I was thinking about purpose. I've been thinking about it for a while over the last couple of years, and somebody online, I don't know who it is, so forgive me if I don't attribute it to you. They were saying your purpose, you don't know at first. It's revealed to you over time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe that.
And I think that for me, my purpose is to create opportunities for others to showcase their talent. And the reason I think that is because when I was at All Def, my secret desire, I thought, was I'm going to use this to elevate myself. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm going to sneak into the back, blah, blah, blah. But I found out what I enjoyed even more than being on camera was giving other people opportunities to achieve their dreams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hiring Tahir and Meg to do the drop, or, you know, this person to help their reel, or paying for somebody's thing, like all those opportunities, opening those doors for people gave me more sense of value than like being funny in a video.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing with Keep Your Distance. Although I am a stand-up comedian, right, and I enjoy making people laugh, and I think that's my desire. I like to entertain people, make them laugh, make them have a good time. But my purpose is I found more value as a person introducing these comedians to this audience. Mm-hmm. So when people are like, yo, your show allowed me to have my biggest YouTube video, mm-hmm. or I got booked, mm-hmm. or this happened, or you helped me remind people that I'm good. Like, I get more good feeling about that, or feel mm-hmm. like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, is probably a better way of saying it, than like when I've had a good set on that same show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, when I'm killing on stage, I'll be like, oh, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are like, you know, come on, Keep Your Distance, especially a small comedian who people don't hear of, and they kill, and they are like, bruh, this opened so many doors. That's what I feel like, okay, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what I want to continue to do. Even if I was a millionaire, billionaire, whatever, or just 100,000-aire, whatever the case is, I still would want to be like, how can I help you? Or yeah. maybe mm-hmm. I could finance your short film if I don't have, you know, a lot of money. But I think that's my desire versus my purpose.
Very good. Angel?
My purpose has been very clear to me for a very long time. And that has always been, showcasing myself in a way that makes someone else love themselves more and be comfortable with their authentic self.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is all, like, that keeps me doing stuff. Even like with the mentorship program I have that's helping other mom influencers with their content. At the end of the day, it's not that I have any secret ingredient or recipe that's helping them, but what I'm really trying to get them to do is get out of their heads about who they are and trying to make themselves into something that they're not actually comfortable being, but like truly being okay with who they are and being also okay with if they want to improve down the line. But being okay where they're at in the moment and knowing that they are enough right now, and they can continue to improve. The desire that gets me caught up is stats. I am very much so into what is this number? Can I get this number higher? Can and that can be very, what was the word? Did you say insatiable? Yes. I am constantly like looking at my Instagram at 199K is murdering me every single day. I'm like, if you don't just get to 2000 before the end of the year, or even like just trying to get to my silver play button on YouTube, that was just like, it taunted me. Now, did any of that matter in regards to my purpose? Absolutely not. I mean, does it, might it show that I'm reaching more people in my purpose? Yes. But whoever God wants me to reach, he's going to allow me to reach. Right. So it doesn't really matter what those numbers are. But I definitely know what my purpose is, and it makes it easier for me to make content. But those stats, whoo, they be beating my head up. Oof.
Marcus?
Yeah, so this is a much more difficult question for me, stepping newly, making this turn to a corner into something completely fresh and new. Because before, you know, stepping away, of course, my first and foremost purpose, but I think y'all's looking at it on a much broader scale, is like my family. My boys being able to do whatever they want and be able to make family out of it. However, that was the 9 to 5, which is still a main goal. Like, none of us sitting here want to do anything outside of that. Like, we got more we want to do, but provide for our families and make sure that, you know, you're building that generational wealth. But I don't think I can answer it right now, but just because it's so much that's changed over the past, since 2019, since we last sat down and talked about all of this. And that's I don't have an answer right now.
You know what's so interesting is that I think it's okay that you don't have an answer. I don't know that I do.
Don't have
either.
To be.
give me an answer right now. I can't force you. Huh? Give it.
Oh, I can't force you. But the other thing, very good book, so I'm going to use one more quote that he says, is that being able to identify, wait, let me find it. Clarifying what you don't want allows you to pursue what you do.
Will?
Oh, shoot. I didn't write it down. Why didn't I write it down? That was dumb. But anyway, something along those lines. And so what I think sometimes, though, is that we have to go the wrong way sometimes if we're unclear in order to figure out, like, oh, I need to do a U-turn. Yes. A logical Thursday.
Theological Thursday.
Oh, theological. Yes. That's what it is.
Say what? The Bible arguments. Delete.
But you also, I also think about when I first started on YouTube, I was trying to make up videos. I don't want to do that. What would happen was, and this is sometimes where the intertwining of your desire and your purpose can sometimes, they get fuzzy, is that you sometimes can be good at something. I am good at makeup. I'm no professional, but I can get the job done. And I think, oh, this must be it. And they're not, it's not always. And so I think we often find ourselves in a position where we feel the need to capitalize on something simply because we're good.
I find that to be true a lot more than not. Like, even when, like with me, people's like, oh yeah, you should build stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm good at that, but I don't want to do that. I'm good at it. Yes. I was talking to Chance about that. He was like, yeah, basketball, love teaching these kids, but is that what I actually want to do? I don't know yet.
And I think for a lot of men, it's hard for them to separate their purpose from their job.
Absolutely.
Where it feels like, oh, my purpose, like even provide. What Marcus even said with his 9 to 5, he could change several jobs, but his purpose should always still be the same. But that's always something that he's always said he struggled with, trying to figure out what that is, especially disconnecting from how he's making money, you know?
I 100% went through the exact same thing. When I left my job, I was like, well, God, well, now what do I do? Because I did define purpose in terms of my job, being good at it, and being able to support my family. Well, now you take that away from me, and it almost feels like you're stripping some of my identity. And so you have to recreate that, and you're starting from ground zero.
This is what I do. I provide.
This happens to professional athletes all the time. You have been doing one thing your whole life. You've been amazing at it, and now you're 35. And if you're not a football player, what are you? If you're not a basketball player, even if you're in the broadcast booth, you're not on the field anymore.
That's what I'm saying. They put them in that booth, and this is like, you don't belong there.
Right. That's a separate take some time thing, separate skill. There's very few people who can do it. But to your point, it's like, you know, you were doing a job you were good at. Mm-hmm. Would you describe it as your purpose?
If you asked me in 2017, yes.
What about 2020?
I don't know anymore. You know why? I'm going through another pivot.
Mm.
I just talked about this in the book, and I was like, the number one, defining my purpose around my job. Then I quit that, and I'm like, okay, God, now what? The Love Hour podcast comes. I'm like, got it. It's the Love Hour podcast, and I'm going to expand that to the Love Hour conference. Fantastic. This feels very purposeful. COVID comes in.
What conference, nigga?
Takes the conference.
Ain't nobody going nowhere.
Takes the conference.
And this was
COVID
fighting.
Came in and cleared out the table. Oh, it was like, pick it up.
You wanted to do this and this and this. COVID said, boop.
You were one of the first people I thought of when COVID hit and all the big things were shutting down. I was like,
and they was not trying to let her out of that contract.
They did not let me out of that conference. I lost money on that conference.
Still lost.
Because they kept like 25% of my deposits.
It's in Joel Osteen's toilet wall.
Correct. It sure is. It sure. Yeah, Melissa Fredericks. No. Then
give it back, Joel.
From that, I am now ending the Love Hour podcast. And I've been asking myself, I'm sorry, I'm hitting you.
I'm okay. This is great. Our friends talk.
With the that black
African-American Earth to hit somebody when I'm laughing.
Correct. That's what y'all do.
Melissa Frederick.
Yeah, I know.
Or when I'm trying to remember something. Help my mind.
There you go.
Tell me what I'm thinking
right
about.
Right there on Angel Knee.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I said. Get it. Give me the power to remember what I'm thinking. As I'm ending this, I'm asking myself, well, God, what's next for me? What is this next evolution? And to be honest, I don't know. And I ask myself this question all the time, specifically in the last couple of weeks, because the Love Hour is ending like next week. I ask myself, what is the difference between quitting and completing?
That's nice.
And I have to find the answer in 2 weeks, because I'm either quitting this podcast or it is done. And I don't know that I have peace in that answer.
And let me tell you what makes it harder for Melissa. Them people who do our ads,
he emailed me just the other day.
Hey, are you sure?
Are you sure?
I mean, I got people trying to buy ads till next November. You got to. Is there anything? What if you do the Hour of Love? Okay, yeah, do the Hour of Love. We just gonna switch it. And I think if you're unsettled, even if you are settled, when somebody is like,
yes, when you're turning down money,
correct?
Money, and it's not hard.
Yeah,
like I often think about this, like people like Steve Carell, right? When he leaves The Office. That cannot have been an easy decision. Or people leaving SNL, like, you have been killing this. You are making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk, you sure? And I know that network was like, what will it take? Mm-hmm. I know they threw the bank.
Oh, yeah.
Because they went for two more seasons without him.
Yeah.
They would have eased. Jerry Seinfeld, are you sure? They were having like $20 million. It was some astronomical number.
Ridiculous, yeah.
And he was like, nah, man, I don't want to do that no more. Mm-hmm. But just because they didn't do it doesn't mean they didn't like wrestle with it.
Oh, right? Yeah. You know what
I mean? Even when I stopped working with All Deaf, I was like,
oh my God.
Listen, you know, that I was get a cab, I'll chase a check. And they should be the net. They didn't quit me, and I'm still like, there's some more money in there. I'm going to go and get
it. The first time, even this time, I didn't really, announce it, but I just don't be, you know, making no huge announcement. But Lisa was like, boy, it's going back and forth. But I was like, I really got to focus on what I want to do and, you know, but all that. And that ain't even crazy. I don't know how Steve did it. And Liz, I'd be like, I applaud you, because I would have been like, the Love Hour is just interviews now. I'm going to get a guest every week. I'm going to get a producer. But I think it's commendable to me to stop something, especially when you don't exactly know what your next step is, and still being like, I'm going to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Will Smith says it's ending it with dignity and pride. He talks about, very good book, if I haven't talked about it enough. He talks about good times. They ended in James Amos' character was killed off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it ended like in the middle of the season. They didn't get it finale. They didn't get closure. It was just kind of like, okay, show's done. Suit again.
Oh,
We're going to that next.
Yeah.
We can end on this. Although I did have one question, but we don't have to answer it. We won't repeat it. Don't worry. I don't think
we're going
with
the question. Come on, last guess.
No. Hold on. Let me finish this.
I'll finish it.
That oftentimes. We can drag out things, and I don't want it. He talks about this episode in Happy Days where the Fonz apparently was riding on a shark with a leather jacket on or something. And so they talk about after a show is beyond its prime, when did it ride the shark? When did they ride the shark? Oh. And he talks about in Will Smith The Fresh Prince is the episode where Alfonso Ribeiro, however you pronounce his last name, was holding guns, like carrying guns that season.
I love that episode. Yeah, I do too.
Which you thought that was riding the shark?
Yeah, they think it was riding the shark because it didn't go with like
his character.
Yeah.
That's true.
It was kind of antithetical.
That's
to the character.
When the office, when the sound man was falling in love with Pam, I was like, all right, guys, let's just go ahead and pack it up.
Yeah. And so you lose
you
the
guys
opportunity
are literally
of
breaking
ending
the whole
it.
Show.
Exactly.
You know.
Oh, I'll ride a shark. That's that cancer in me. Pop, shark time. There's tornadoes and sharks and all types of things. They don't supposed
shark.
To be there.
Thank you.
They
thank
can
you.
Switch it out to Fast
Jump
and Furious.
Yeah, that is what it's called. Yeah. Thank you.
Going to space, not drag racing no more.
Yeah, that is me.
Listen,
all
Angel
day.
Said, Kevin, don't you mess up your life because you be in there in a coma. I'm going to be doing, here's the thing with the mic to you. Boy, Kevin, you was crazy.
Get what you think. Beep.
Boy, you done gave me 3 beeps. You know you acting crazy. This episode is brought to you by Posse Genius. He needs it.
K with a crew. Yeah. That's me. I'll jump that shark, ride it, guns on. Absolutely.
And they're moving his jaw. He's like,
I am the leaving something with dignity and pride. What is that?
Linda, he needs some more IV.
Liquid IV.
I don't know nothing about that. Dignity and pride.
Oh, my
what?
God.
Oh my God, that's hysterical. All right, that's it, you
what was
guys.
The last question, man.
It's deep. It's a question about if you think the dream is fragile and it causes you anxiety, and so you find yourself overworking in an effort to maintain it.
Yes.
Oh man.
That's that answer. Yes.
Let me tell you what.
I posted in a way where you guys could say yes.
The streaming service, somebody I was doing asked me on Twitter because I couldn't sleep and I was done watching stuff. And somebody asked me, given the opportunity again, would you do a streaming service? And I was like, no, I would not. It is a hill. No, what's the opposite of a hill?
A mountain.
No. The other
a valley.
Way.
Valley.
Oh,
it is
a valley.
A pit. It is a financial pit. You are literally, quite literally. Thank you, Comedy Club. Deposit. Withdraw. Pay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was much harder. Then I literally have had the thought, this is why Hollywood be winning. It's nearly impossible to do this.
Yeah.
You try to compete with Netflix and then people compare you to Netflix. Like, why you only got 4 shows? We have $11. We literally have to wait till the money comes in to pay stuff. Ain't no $8 billion in stuff.
Right.
2 weeks, ain't no tour.
Okay. Thank you so much, because now you're tapping on my anxiety.
Oh, Lord.
That's the thing about touring. As exhausting as it is, the money be the money.
Yes.
It's like, but if you go out and do that for 8 months, you miss out on cinnamon
everything.
Rolls.
You miss out on everything.
Soccer games and robotics.
This Meanwhile, we haven't really got together since then.
Right.
No, we haven't. No. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
He's like, I still want to talk.
Sorry.
But the last part of what you're saying is fragile. Like, I absolutely, we talked about this later, but Melissa was like, the Love Hour is ending. And I was like, I will start a podcast. We got to keep that money going. Kevin interviews people. I'm going to be doing interviews with my nose bleeding. So, hey, man, this is my gardener. How you be cutting grass in those lines? They be straight, huh? I love grass.
Blood
this episode is brought to you by grass.com.
Blood dripping out of his beard.
Ooh, my ear bleeding again. I wish I had Raycons.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Well, you know how it be.
That's hilarious.
You know Apple products bleed my ears.
But
I think sometimes I work to like calm anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, I cannot make people subscribe.
Right.
I cannot make people not share passwords. I hope against hope. I can't even really raise the price.
Yeah.
We had conversations about that. The dog on that, folks, lied to us. Mm-hmm. Oh, for every $5, you're going to get $5.
They lied.
Hey. Nah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's from us.
Yeah.
Apple going to take 30%. Apple's correct. Like, yeah, nigga, what you finna do?
Nothing.
Roku, all of them. But the point is, we need it to be seven. the point is, the dream is fragile. But sometimes I ask myself, is it like, you know, it's the saying from Cool Runnings, peace be the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it will never be as hard as it was the first year. Right. And hopefully in 5-10 years, we'll look back and be like, whoo, remember that first 2 or 3 years? We was like, bro, we don't even know if this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing about a dream. There is no certainty.
No.
The app isn't even the biggest leap I've ever done. That tour.
The first one.
Oh, man. Whew.
Huge.
The documentary was called.
Calculator.
Calculator. If that thing failed, well. I work at All Def until I die. Boy, I'll make the plane,
I was
guys.
Going back to Boy.
I'm going back.
Listen, me and Melissa own another house. If this don't work out, you got to go, and we got to live here. We're going to be living in Greenbow, Alabama. Like, we got to just in case this don't work out. Our house in Washington, hey, the lease is up. Why? Nigga, it didn't work, okay? We live back here because the mortgage is affordable.
You letting them know that when you walk up to the door, hey, you ain't got to get your stuff and get out.
JoJo, it was nice. Y'all share
you come
a room
up
shut
with
up.
Two moving trucks, one with your stuff and one for their stuff. Y'all just put that stuff up in there.
Yeah, just go. Count it all joy.
No, that's yours.
Yeah, put your yeah. stuff,
put your in, stuff yeah. in this one.
Get out.
Live in Washington again. I mean, we really didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, we really did not. Me and Melissa were talking about this. We didn't know the tour was going to work until like 4 months into it.
Jesus.
We sat there and was like, okay, we can pay Tony to here now. Finally. They didn't know. They was like, this is going great. We were like, well. I'm so grateful COVID didn't hit.
Yeah, so back. That,
oh.
Woo!
That's crazy.
Woo! But for me, somebody else asked me this today, like, do you live with any regret? And I don't, because everything I do with full intention. And if I fail, I can live with failure.
Yeah.
Like, if the app fails, I hope it doesn't. Don't get me wrong. But if it fails, I'll be like, man, that was crazy, huh?
Mm.
These shows are now on YouTube. We're going back on tour. It was 7,000 cities. Came on stage. It's in Northwest Oklahoma. Jimmy Tom's Milk Shack. Hey, y'all.
These flights are crazy, ain't they?
You know Tiger King. We got 6 more shows tonight.
Oh.
But I'm grateful that at least if, you know, given everything that could go wrong, people still want to see me live. I always have stuff to fall back on.
Yeah.
And I still hope it works. And I think that's the thing about a dream. Like, if you knew it would work, it wouldn't be as satisfying to go for it.
Yeah, and everybody would be doing it.
Yeah. So we're going for it.
They find
that's different.
If you're rich and white, shoot, none of this stuff applies.
Yeah, back to what I said at the beginning.
I don't think they can appreciate what we can appreciate. Yeah. Like you were talking about with Bill Gates.
Yeah.
They didn't have if this doesn't work.
Yeah, they didn't start in a pit. No. They started on level or above ground.
If he never found GoPro, he'd still be surfing around with his mom and dad's money. He don't know what it's like to be like, what if we got to move back?
Right.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, did you guys want to answer and then we can wrap up?
Fragile, yes. I've been out here since 2006, chasing a dream. That loves to come up and make out with me and then punch me in the face.
So
it is a tumultuous relationship.
Hey, Angel.
I mean, punching me square in my face, and I have to get up and shake it off, or I don't have to get up, but I keep choosing to, and I don't know why. But that's the same thing I felt about when I started creating content on YouTube 13 years ago. Mm. I kept saying, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to keep doing it. Eventually, it'll make sense. So I'm hoping that blind, stupid faith also pays off with this dream of me being an actress out here. I mean, yes, it's paid off some. I work. I make money. But it's sometimes I'm like, is it worth the heartache and embarrassment it has caused me in the past? I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I have no idea. So it is fragile because I know that it could go any way, and it's all about, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah. So where before I hated that career, I was like, man, your career is stupid. Your dream is stupid, but I'm going to support you. but it's all good. You ain't got to worry. Now I'm like, no, you better make something happen.
You know what you sound like? Y'all seen that video where the guy brought his wife breakfast? Here's breakfast. Now leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Okay, bye. I'm not finna start with you. You messed with me last night. I make this breakfast. Make peace with you. Okay, bye. Y'all ain't seen that?
No. They sound like they've been married for a long time.
Yeah. It was not. Don't listen. Don't talk to me. I love you.
Yeah. But it's like before. It's just like, all right, now we got to learn how to pivot this together. Versus, well, you go ahead and pivot. I'll see you after work. Right. Can't do that no more.
Yeah. No. But I do definitely feel like I now have at least one part of my career under control that I felt comfortable being like, okay, come on. You come on with me. But before, I would have been like, I don't care what job you got. As long as it's a job, you be on it.
Yeah.
Anything you wanted to add?
Nah.
Thank you for having us.
You came off that job this year, man.
Yeah. May 27th. Like? What's it like? Oh, so much better. Then I enrolled in elementary school.
Y'all had a nickname for y'all. It was Stable something. It was on the first Love Hour. We were called
the Kites.
No, that was not.
We were
the first.
Strings. We were
no, that wasn't that one. She didn't have Kites and Strings at the time. It was something you made up.
I ain't no telling.
It was like Stable Shoeries instead of Entrepreneurs.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was something else.
Kevin clowned me, and then he ended up using it. Entrepreneur.
I wish I don't remember. Oh, well, we'll figure
Somebody
it out.
Somebody watch the episode and text it to us.
Nah. Anyway, thank you for having us,
thank
Melissa.
Thank you guys for joining us for this conversation. For these are my favorite. I enjoyed it a lot, actually. Thank you guys so much for joining us for today's episode of Love Hour. Until next one. Bye.
Bye.